Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies, coming at you for a Monday. Today, very important day. Well, let's very important, maybe a little bit stretching. I'll get to that in a second. My name is Peter Edmiston. Thankful to be with you here on this Monday. We are 1 week away from Media Day and 8 days away from the season really getting underway with training camp and all that good stuff. So it is actually happening. And today on the show, I'll tell you why today is kind of sort of important, but not really, but kind of. And also why the two-guard position is going to be an interesting one to watch for the Grizzlies this year. This show brought to you by our friends at Vivid Seats, and I'll be telling you about Vivid Seats later on in the program too. So today is the day that you see introduced Kyle Anderson, Omri Caspi, Shelvin Mack, Garrett Temple, the new Grizzlies acquired via free agency or trade that were not introduced in the summer for whatever reason. And though certainly in Memphis it still feels like summer, it is extremely hot. So the climate is certainly appropriate. The timing is a little bit weird, but nonetheless, it is happening today. They will talk along with JB Bickerstaff, Chris Wallace, a few others to discuss kind of what's going on with them. And, you know, long story short, kind of how they expect the season and their individual roles to be played. I'm curious to kind of get their take on what the organization told them, what they kind of expected coming in. Some of them obviously, you know, chose to come here. Some of them did not. So that will obviously change things. But in particular for Kyle Anderson, you know, he got a lucrative offer, but it was not so unbelievably lucrative that you couldn't have figured out, you know, some other way to stick with the Spurs or a different organization. You take that offer, full mid-level, for 4 years because, yeah, you want to get paid, but also you have to believe in what you are being sold and what you're being told. And I'll be curious to see what he says about that because I think that his position is pretty certain. He is one of only three surefire starters to me. Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, Kyle Anderson are for sure starters. The situation at the two we'll talk about here in just a little bit on the program. And the four is going to obviously just depend on what we discussed last week, whether Jaren Jackson Jr. is ready to go or not, how quickly they want to throw him into the fire. Otherwise, JaMychal Green is a more than competent substitute to handle that position. I think before too long, Jaren Jackson will be the starter at the four spot, but it may take, you know, it depends on how quickly Jackson grasps the offense, defense, concepts, those things that they want him to do. That could take a while. So if it does, then he'll hold off and wait. If not, either way, it's pretty much, to me, a fait accompli. You don't pick a guy top five in the draft and not expect to use him and use him quickly. But Garrett Temple will be one to talk to because that brings me to really the point of today's pod and the discussion of today's pod, which is, What about the two-guard position? And I was thinking about this, and I've been thinking about this really since Josh Lloyd, who is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On Fantasy. And he does a great job with the Fantasy Basketball Podcast. If you're not following him, you should. And if you are at all interested in fantasy basketball, you should absolutely be listening to his pod every day. The guy cranks out tons of content, and it's really good stuff. But I talked to Josh for probably 45 minutes to an hour. Is sort of a preview pod. You can go listen to it from 3-4 weeks ago. And one of the things that we spent the most time on was the situation at the two for the Grizzlies. And it really has been a difficult kind of thing for the Grizzlies to deal with for years. You know, for the longest time, obviously, when you start Tony Allen as your two, that's an unconventional guy. You know, most teams, your best shooter or one of your best shooters is going to be at the two, a guy that you can count on to give you three-point shooting, can give you some dynamic play. And Tony Allen can certainly give you dynamic play, but not with the shooting and not in the conventional way, which meant that the domino effect of putting an unconventional guy there puts more pressure on every other position, and it made the offense difficult. That's why one of the reasons why the Grizzlies never really could get higher than 13th at any point in time in the offensive ratings. It's just very hard to do when your positions on the floor that are normally your highest shooting output positions are helmed by guys that aren't great shooters. hard to do. So now that brings us to this year in a different sort of problem for the Grizzlies. And it's one that I think there is a solution to, but it's going to be an interesting solution and one that may take a little while to emerge. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. But I want to tell you first about Vivid Seats. And, you know, it's all about finding tickets. It's all about getting to the game, getting to the show, finding the right ticket at the right price is easier than ever with Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats offers great prices, and here's the great part. It is so easy. Some of the other experiences you may have gone through are difficult. They make it so simple. It will allow you to see your favorite teams, your favorite artists, concerts, theater, you name it, live events. Vivid Seats is doing it for you. And all Vivid Seats are confirmed and backed by 100% guarantee. It's that simple. All you have to do is go to the App Store, Google Play, depending on whatever your device is, download the Vivid Seats app. And then from there, enter the promo code Locked On. That's Locked On, LOCKEDON, Locked On, to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. So you are going to save money doing this. It's free money. Who doesn't love that? Again, use the promo code Locked On when you download the Vivid Seats app to save $20 off orders of $200 or more. Make your night out that much easier. Make your night out that much better, and do it the right way with Vivid Seats. Now for the Grizzlies, what do you do about the two-guard position? Maybe we'll find out a little more today. Garrett Temple, obviously being brought into the mix. You have Marshawn Brooks, who came on like a house of fire at the end of last season, doing some stuff that, quite frankly, we haven't really seen guys do before. Dylan Brooks is still very much a part of the action at that position. You also see the opportunity for guys to play a different sort of role there with like an Andrew Harrison or a Mike Conley. You're playing off the ball on top of that. There is that, and there are other guys that could potentially play there out of position too. What do the Grizzlies do at that spot? And it's one that's going to define a lot about what this season is, because otherwise, if you can't figure it out, if you can't figure out what you're going to do at that position, then it just adds a lot more pressure to the rest of the lineup. It adds a lot more pressure. And I just realized I forgot Wayne Seldon. See, that's how it works. Wayne Seldon is part of it. So throw in Wayne Seldon, Marshawn Brooks, Dylan Brooks, Garrett Temple. And then potentially playing Mike Conley as a two guard, which we saw a fair bit of, or Andrew Harrison, whichever one. It's a 2-point guard lineup. We've seen the Grizzlies deploy those quite a bit. What do you do? How do those minutes get divvied up? Now, Josh was talking about it from a fantasy perspective, and that's why I said just avoid. If your fantasy career ends up relying on a Grizzly two guard, you're probably in trouble. You're probably not going to win your league no matter what happens. That's been true forever. So that wouldn't change this year. But from a competitive standpoint, what do the Grizzlies do? And who emerges? And what are the strengths and weaknesses? Well, I think Wayne Seldon is the kind of the X factor here, because there's so much intrigue about what he could do. And there was a lot of hype surrounding Wayne Seldon. There's a lot, I mean, especially I think summer league performances a couple years ago really generated that and kind of started that whole train. And you've seen moments, he looks, physically looks the part, probably more than anybody else. He looks like he should be the guy. But it hasn't really worked. Hasn't really turned over. And that's, you know, injuries have played a huge part. You know, Seldon continues to miss time after time. He had that quad strain that lasted forever. He's just got that reputation for being a little bit fragile. That doesn't help him. But even when he's played, I think the hype has exceeded the production. He had a great defensive performance against Kawhi Leonard back in the 2017 playoffs. He was one of the few guys that actually looked like he was engaged and fully ready to go. He was really into it, and he, you know, nobody wanted to deal with Kawhi that series he did, and I think he's got the potential to be a good defender on a regular basis, but I don't think that we've seen it again every time out. I don't think that's been consistently executed. And then on the offensive side, fits and starts and not a solid jump shot to speak of, not really a solid performer. It has happened, and he's good, and he's very good at times. But again, it's just how often are you going to see that on a regular basis? How often are you actually going to see him be able to give you the kind of production that you think you're going to need from that position? And for me, it's not quite enough. I think he's certainly a candidate for the position. Don't get me wrong. And the guy is extremely good, potentially. But it's all potential, and for the longest time now, we've seen where potential gets you. He was a 40% three-point shooter, but again, you're talking only 35 games played. That 40% helps, and that kind of pushes you, in my mind, to sort of the front of the line, or at least, theoretically gets you closer. But, he didn't do that well inside the arc, and you're really looking at a pretty limited sample size last year, under 20 minutes a game. How much does that carry over? I don't know. Dylan Brooks, then. I don't even know that Dylan Brooks, that his best position is the two. I think he's probably, more of a three. I don't know that he can defend that position adequately enough to be out there as a consistent two guard. But considering that Kyle Anderson, I think, walks into the three and he's going to be the starting three, that's why you go and get him. I don't know what you do with Dylan. You could play him, certainly backup minutes. He deserves to play. The guy was really good last year, but really good kind of compared to what you expected from him. I wouldn't say really good compared to what you want from that position overall. He's a guy that shot 36%, a little under 36% from three, 44% from the field. That's okay. Didn't get to the foul line very much. Was an okay defender, but like a lot of rookies, struggled in that department. And also, I think as he defended true twos, really struggled to stay in front and move his feet laterally. That was a problem. I think also his assist totals and the fact his passing just wasn't there. One of the lowest assist rates in recent memory for guys that played as much as he did. Rookies, especially, but you'd like to see from anybody, just the idea that you're moving the ball, and he didn't really do that effectively. Part of that, of course, was the nature of the team last year. It was a makeshift operation, but we've seen guys perform even under those circumstances. We've seen guys put up good numbers and do good things. So I don't think that would preclude him from being a better passer. I think that's probably just part of the issue that he's got as a player. It was the same thing that Jermichael Green had. As a side note, he didn't really move the ball all that well either. In his position. So the Grizzlies are emphasizing player movement, ball movement. I think assists are going to be important as a factor in that. And in doing so, I think you're going to see whoever plays that position is going to need to be that guy. And I'm not sure Dylan Brooks is that guy. So I don't know. To me, I wouldn't start. I don't think Dylan Brooks is going to start. It's kind of the long and the short of it. I mean, we'll see how things go in training camp. And we'll see how things go, when all this stuff kind of puts together and you start seeing lineups. But I'm just kind of trying to read the tea leaves a little bit. And when you do that, you find that he's kind of, I don't know that he's a two full time. I don't think that as a three, he's going to start. So then do you put him at the backup three? But then where do you put – there's some other guys that are going to need that time there. I think where his minutes fall and how he is used, because he will be used, but how he's used is going to be very interesting to see going forward. So then if it's not necessarily Dylan Brooks, it might be Wayne Selden, but it also might be Garrett Temple. Garrett Temple, who, of course, came as part of the Ben McLemore and Deontay Davis trade. And, Temple, the advantage that he gives you is defensively, he is rock solid. He's going to be a rock solid guy, and he has improved his three-point shooting. You know, he was not a great three-point shooter when he first arrived in the league. And he's bumped that up over the years to where last year he was a career best 39% three-point shooter on 3.5 attempts per game in about 25 minutes, which is decent, you know, in terms of the output. You're going to need a guy at that position. I think he's going to have to at least be adequate shooting. And, you know, league average is a little over 36%. So, you know, Dylan Brooks is just under league average. You're going to need that number to bump up a little bit. So when you bring up Garrett Temple, he's at least over that mark. And he's given you some good numbers. But importantly, he gives you high basketball IQ. And he gives you high defensive IQ on top of that. That is crucial. He's going to be able to work with, modify his game. I mean, this is a guy that has been a nomad in NBA circles, an itinerant guy. He's been here, he's been there, he's been all over the place, 11 different stops. I mean, he's third most 10-day contracts in NBA history. He has truly walked a lot of miles and done a lot of stuff. So, nothing's going to surprise him. And I think especially if you start Jaren Jackson, you've got Kyle Anderson in there trying to make an adjustment to a new situation. Having a solid guy, even though he's a new face, I don't think he's going to be phased by any of that stuff. I think he's more of a solid veteran presence that would probably be very useful in that spot. So, you know, that's something that I value personally. And I think defensively, he's the most solid dude that you've got. Those things will matter. Give you solid defensive output, somebody who can do the little things that need to be done and not make mistakes. Avoiding mistakes is a big part of it. Who can also give you, I would say, good three-point shooting. You're not looking for miracles here. You're not. This is not Klay Thompson. But just, you got to be able to carry a threat and be able to make a shot when called upon. He can do that. So that's Garrett Temple's case. Then, of course, you have Marshawn Brooks. And I don't really see Marshawn Brooks as a starter. I'm going to bring him up in this discussion just because, you know, I think the 7-game sample that we saw at the end of last season is worthy of mention with these other guys. What he did is something that, you know, very few guys have ever done. You know, starting so brightly in his return and doing something, you know, in what would be considered still his rookie contract, his fourth year. So kind of, if you want to, he's had a little bit of an interruption in that rookie contract. But if you look at the first 4 years, there are very few players, handful of players that have ever put together a stretch of 7 games with the kind of shooting that he put together. So that gets you something. I know it was at the end of the season and, you know, small sample size and all that stuff, but that was so nuclear as a performance that it will get you talked about, and it got him a contract, and it's a big time thing that the Grizzlies will need. But I think that value really speaks for itself in terms of coming off the bench. You know, that has always been a concern for the Grizzlies, is coming off the bench. Can you find that guy to get hot and to get buckets, not just to make shots, but to get buckets? You know, Troy Daniels has filled that role of a shot maker. Going back to, you know, guys like Wayne Ellington, you know, filled that role as a shot maker, you know, three-point shooter, go in there and make it happen. But they also had major defensive deficiencies, as Marshawn Brooks pretty much does. But more importantly, those guys couldn't go and make their own shot. But Marshawn Brooks can make his own shot. He can create his own look. He can do his own thing. And when you get down late in a shot clock, particularly for a team like the Grizzlies that has, if you've watched the Grizzlies at all, you know there are plenty of possessions each game where it gets ugly. And you get down to the last 5 seconds and something's got to happen. And more often than not, there's not been a guy on the court that could actually make that something happen. He's that guy. That's incredibly valuable. That in and of itself is huge. And if you bring him in to kind of be a counterpunch or to give you a little boost if you need it, if you've had a little bit of a struggle offensively to start the game, I think that's a better role for him at the two guard spot. So to me, that's where I'm looking for Marshawn Brooks to be most deployed and most used. I don't see him as a starter. It doesn't make a lot of sense, at least at this stage, for him to be used in that capacity. Not saying he wouldn't be, not saying he couldn't be, but it doesn't, to me, the logical use of him is as that bench guy, sixth man, can come in and go crazy. A role that we've seen in so many teams who have been good have that guy. You have to have that guy on your bench. So looking at all the resumes, I think the one that's going to be the most fascinating to watch is Dylan Brooks, because I really don't know how his minutes get divvied up, especially if he doesn't end up winning that starting job. Now, you know, again, he played really well for Canada this offseason. He has developed a great relationship with Marc Gasol and with some of the other teammates. He's been, you know, part of the action. So I think they really want to use him, and I think he's got the potential, if he improved this offseason, to be a starter. He could be a starter quality guy, but he's got to have improved. We don't know that until we actually see, you know, what he brings to the table in training camp. And that's the most intriguing one. But if you're asking me right out of the gate, I'm starting with Garrett Temple. You know, in no disrespect to Wayne Seldon, one of those guys is going to have to kind of be put on the back burner. And Seldon's injury history and inconsistency means I don't know how much you can really trust him to be part of what you're looking for. The thing about Dylan Brooks, he played all 82 games last year in the middle of a bad season. Started 74. No one else even came close on the Grizzlies. There's only one other guy, that's Marc Gasol, who played even 70 games. You know, that consistency, that helps. Being able to count on stuff. Coaches love consistency. JB Bickerstaff loves consistency. If you can be consistent and you can be healthy, then that gives you a leg up on everybody else. And I think Wayne Seldon, that's going to be a mountain he's going to have to climb a little bit. Have to prove that he's healthy. He may be the most talented of the bunch, honestly. Physically, certainly, he looks more the part than anybody else. But can you actually make that happen? Can you actually turn that into actionable things on the court? That's the battle I want to see unfold. We're going to talk about it later on today with Garrett Temple down at FedEx Forum. And I know coming up later on this week, we'll talk more about it. We'll give you some recap of that press conference, hopefully be able to get some interviews and that kind of thing to be able to continue the season prep. And obviously next week, we're going to crank it out and get you set for the season at Media Day, and I look forward to how that's all going to unfold. It's going to be an exciting time. It's going to be a fun time, and I personally cannot wait. So it's going to be really, really cool. Thank you, as always, for listening to Locked on Grizzlies. Get in touch with me on Twitter, at Peter Edmiston. Again, at Peter Edmiston. Or if you want to shoot me an email, you can do that too, pedmiston, E-D-M-I-S-T-O-N. At gmail.com. I would love to hear from you, no matter how you do it. I would love to hear from you. So thank you for listening. Thanks for being a part of it. And we'll talk to you later on this week here on Locked on Grizzlies.